Hello everyone, my name is Eli Dave Mitchell, the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation of Mount Zion at the 12th Hour in Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is January 5, 2016, or it is Shabbat 8, 2020. We will start our first service today with a song entitled, I Know Who Holds Tomorrow. I don't know about tomorrow, I just live from day to day. I don't follow from the sunshine, for the skies may turn to gray. I don't worry o'er the future, for I know what Yahshua said, and today I won't be silent, for He knows what is ahead. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I don't know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. Every step is getting brighter as the golden stairs I climb. Every burden's getting lighter, every cloud is silver line. The sun is always shining, and no fear will dim the high. And the ending of the rainbow, where the mountains touch the sky. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. I don't know about tomorrow, it may bring me poverty, but the one who feeds the sparrow is the one who stands by me. And the path that is my portion, it is through the flame of love. His presence goes before me, and I'm covered with His blood. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow.
Symbolic code number 1 and 2. We're going to start with number 1. World conditions when Yahweh's people are delivered. It says 1943 this study was given. Avit Yehada says our study this afternoon is based on the text that are somewhat scattered throughout the Bible. It is a reality, a review of the studies we have had the last several weeks. Or you might say that it is a conclusion of them. You remember through our study of the 11th chapter of Daniel and Isaiah chapter 7 and 8 and onward, They bring to view a war and the deliverance of Elohim's people in a time of their great distress. That is a point that I am to emphasize this afternoon. We will read first, Zechariah 1:18-19. Then lifted up by mine eyes and saw, and behold, four horns, and I said unto the angel that talked with me, What be these? And he answered me, These are the horns which have scattered Judah and Israel and Jerusalem. The prophet saw four horns and the angel that talked with him and made him to understand that these horns were symbolical of the Gentile nation which had scattered Judah, the remnant, a two-tribe kingdom, and Israel, the ten-tribe kingdom, and also Jerusalem, the capital city of the two-tribe kingdom, Judah. In other words, in the symbol of the four horns, Zechariah saw those Gentile nations which scattered Yahweh's people and destroyed their kingdom. Zechariah 1:20-21. And Yahweh showed me four or carpenters. Then said I, What come these to do? And he spake, saying, These are the horns which have scattered Judah, so that no man did lift up his head. But these are come to fray them, to cast out the horns of the Gentiles, which lifted up their horn over the land of Judah, to scatter it. The prophet first saw four horns, which perfectly symbolized those Gentile nations, which scattered Elohim's people, for horns are used to push and scatter. Afterwards, though, he saw four carpenters, thus lending the impression that they have come to build. For that is the business of carpenters. When the prophet saw the carpenters, he wanted to know the purpose of their presence. In this answer, the angel first told him that these carpenters are none other than the four horns, Gentile nations, which had scattered Israel, Judah, and Jerusalem, and these same horns that scattered Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem have now returned as carpenters to cast out the Gentiles and thus free Elohim's people. It therefore becomes obvious that the four horns, which Zechariah first saw, point back to the time when Israel and Judah were scattered. And the symbolism of the four carpenters must point forward to a time years later when Yahweh is to restore and rebuild the kingdom. Briefly then, the symbolism of the horns looks back unto the destruction of the kingdom, whereas the others, the carpenters, looks forward unto the repairing of it. For the question we ought next to consider is whether the fulfillment of the work of the carpenters took place in the time when the Jews returned from the Babylon after their 70 years captivity, or whether it refers unto some other time. For you remember that the Jews were scattered and their land was taken, and they went into captivity under the Babylon for the 70 years of the Jeremiah's prophecy, after which they returned and the city was rebuilt. Zechariah says there were four horns, which would include all the nations that had part in the scattering Israel's Yahweh's people. And moreover, if this prediction met its fulfillment in the Nehemiah and Haggai's time, all the Gentiles should have been driven out forever, but they were not. Besides, the horns were those nations that scattered Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem, and now they have returned to free them and repair the kingdom. And in chapter 2 of Zechariah's prophecy, Elohim declared that not only would his people's kingdom be restored, but many nations would join themselves unto the Yeshua. Since both Israel and Judah did not return, and since other nations did not join themselves unto the Yahweh and his people, when the Jews returned from the Babylon, we cannot say that this prophecy met its fulfillment in the return of the Jews from the Babylon. And since this prophecy has never been fulfilled, it must take place at some future time. Through it all, we see in Zechariah's prophecy a prediction that one day Gentile nations would be engaged in the rebuilding of the Israelitish kingdom and the Palestine that was once destroyed. We see also that there is to be a world war in which Gentiles outside of Palestine and the Gentiles within will be involved. In that war, Yahweh's people, Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem are to be delivered and made free, and the kingdom will be rebuilt. That is as plain as anything I have ever seen. In Luke 21:24, we find these words, "And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles, until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled." But it is at the time Zechariah's prophecy is fulfilled, when the four carpenters drive out the Gentiles, that Jerusalem shall no more be trodden by the Gentiles, for their time to occupy the Holy Land shall be brought unto its end. Then the Jews are to return and possess the land. Isaiah, Daniel, and Nahum also bear prophetic testimony to the fact that there is to be war and trouble and deliverance of the Elohim's people at the time that his kingdom is restored on the earth. Let us now consider Jeremiah's prophecy. Jeremiah chapter 20 through 30 is one long account or book, if you please, containing both history and prophecy. It deals with the wickedness of the Jews, and that's the tribe of Judah, and how Elohim would deal with them if they did not repent. And Yahweh tried every possible way to lead them to repentance, but they would not respond. And the 26th chapter is an account of a conference they held to determine what to do with Jeremiah, the Yahweh's prophet. Some wanted him killed, but others objected unto it, and his life was preserved. One of the most important facts to be observed in these chapters, however, is that Yahweh declared that the punishment he was to mete out unto his people, the Jews, would sometime be given unto the kingdoms of the Gentiles also. We shall now read in Jeremiah 30, verse 1 and 2. "For the word that came unto Jeremiah from Yahweh, saying, Thus speaketh the Yahweh Elohim of Israel, saying, Write thee all the words that I have spoken unto thee in a book. For the Yahweh commands the prophet to write in a book all the words that he has spoken in the preceding chapters." Jeremiah 30, verse 3. "For lo, the days come, saith Yahweh, that I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel and Judah, saith Yahweh. And I will cause them to return unto the land that I gave unto their fathers, and they shall possess it. All that Elohim had said about the destruction of Israel and Judah was to be carefully written in a book, because sometime he is to deliver them both, and he did not want that fact to be forgotten. I am positive upon the Bible authority that the kingdom restored is not to be made up in heaven above. It is to be made up in the very land where Elohim's people lived until they were driven out because of their sin. Yes, the Bible teaches that all the 12 tribes someday will return and possess that land, the land that he gave unto their fathers. After the millennium, Elohim's people will possess not only Palestine, but they will possess the whole earth. They must first, however, return from among the Gentiles and possess the land of their fathers and the fulfillment of the prophecy we are now studying. Necessarily, then, it must take place before the millennium, before Elohim's people go to heaven." Okay, it says in Jeremiah 30, verse 46, "And these are the words that the Yahweh spake concerning Israel and concerning Judah. For thus saith the Yahweh, We have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ask you now, and see whether a man doth travail with a child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins as a woman in the travail, and all faces are turned into paleness? We heard a noise of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. We do not have to ask whether a man travails with a child, for we know that he does not. What then is the reason for the suggesting the question? For it indicates that something is to happen that never happened before. It will be something as strange as if a man were to travail with a child, a time of the great and unusual trouble, and fear is for the overtaking of the people, for it is for the bringing great stress and anxiety upon them. Jeremiah 30, verse 7. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. Though it is designated as the time of the trouble, Jacob's trouble, yet there is no trouble like it in the respect that none is so great. In this prophecy, Elohim is revealing that before Yahweh's people return unto their father's land, there shall be a time of the trouble that will turn all faces pale. It will be a time of the trembling of the fear and trouble such as never was. Trouble is coming. It is not going to be a small trouble. Why is it called Jacob's time of trouble? Jacob met his trouble while he was returned into the promised land. Now Jacob is returned again into the promised land with all his household, and again he is to meet with the great trouble. That is why it is called the time of Jacob's trouble. The trouble is to be exceedingly great. Some of us may think we have hardship now, but the fact is that we do not know what hardship is. We cannot now even imagine how great the trouble will be. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. The trouble actually is what saves him. And the time of the trouble is coming for the good of the latter-day Jacobites. That's your 144,000 people. It is coming to deliver them. Through this most difficult time, it is the man who has the greatest faith in the Yahweh that will fear the least. The more faith one has, then the greater will be his deliverance. We have learned that in that great time of the trouble, those represented by Jacob will be delivered. Daniel calls it a time of the trouble, such as never was, and he also foretells that the Michael shall stand up and deliver everyone whose name is written in the book. Why did both prophets write about it? Jeremiah perhaps deals more directly with the deliverance of the people and makes plain the time Elohim is to accomplish the deliverance. Jeremiah 30, verse 8. For it shall come to pass in that day, saith Yahshua of the host, that I will break his yoke from off thy neck, and will burst thy bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of him. To break one's yoke and bonds means to make one free. It is from the Assyrian yoke that Jacob is going to be made free. Jeremiah 30, verse 9. But they shall serve the Yahweh, their Elohim, and David, their king, whom I will raise up unto them. Okay. Now we will read the last part of Jeremiah 30, verse 8 again. And strangers shall no more serve themselves of him. For the reason there will be no strangers is that no one will serve himself there. In the religious realm, strangers serve themselves rather than Yahweh, Yahshua, and their king. But in the kingdom, all will serve Yahshua, their Savior, and David, their king. if I am a minister of the gospel for what I can get out of it, then I am serving none but myself. But if I am serving for the good of Elohim's people, then I am serving Yahweh. There are many people today dying for their country. Should not a Christian be willing to die, if necessary, for the cause of Yahshua? There shall be no more strangers among Jacob that will serve themselves, but they shall serve Yahshua their Savior and David their King, whom I will raise up unto them. There are two principles brought to light in this statement. One is religious, and the other is civil. The one religious is none other than the Yahshua their Savior, and the one civil is David their King. If he is to raise David unto them, then it must be that they are going to have a theocratic form of government as he had in the David's time. Jeremiah 30, verse 10, Therefore fear thou not, O my servant Jacob, saith Yahweh. Neither be dismayed, O Israel, for lo, I will save thee from afar, and thy seed from the land of their captivity, and Jacob shall return, and shall be in rest, and be quiet, and none shall make him afraid. For the Jacob should not fear, because he shall be saved out of his trouble. Yahweh is going to deliver him by a miracle. If it were not a fearfully troublesome time, they would not need to be told to fear nor be dismayed. It is to be a terrible time of trouble just before Jacob is delivered. Certainly then, the statement that there is a silver lining behind every cloud is true in this case. Jeremiah 30, verse 11 and 13, For I am with thee, saith Yahweh, to save thee, though I make a full end of all nations where I have scattered thee. He's going to make an end of all the nations where he has scattered the seed of Jacob. Yet will I not make a full end of thee, but I will correct thee in measure, and will not leave thee altogether unpunished. For thus saith Yahweh, thy bruise is incurable, and thy wound is grievous. There is none to plead thy cause, that thou mayest be bound up. Thou hast no healing medicines. Yahweh's people are to receive punishment, but it is only going to be in the measure. The incurable bruise and grievous wound is the kingdom lost though the bruise is incurable, yet they are to be delivered. Only a miracle can heal an incurable bruise. Just before Elohim's people are delivered, they will be painfully aware that there is no possible way for them to be delivered. But a miracle is to take place. Then all will know that Yahweh alone wrought their deliverance. This key is a miracle will take place. Jeremiah 30, verse 14 and 15, All thy lovers have forgotten thee. They seek thee not, for I have wounded thee with the wound of an enemy, with the chastisement of a cruel one for the multitude of thine iniquity, because thy sins were increased. Why criest thou for thine affliction? Thy sorrow is incurable for the multitude of thine iniquity, because thy sins were increased. I have done these things unto thee. Elohim's people suffered the loss of their kingdom because of their sins. Jeremiah 30, verse 16. Therefore all they that devour thee shall be devoured, and all thine adversaries, every one of them, shall go into captivity, and they that spoil thee shall be a spoil, and all that prey upon thee will I give for a prey. This is to begin to be fulfilled when the time of the Gentiles is fulfilled. Jeremiah 30, verse 17, For I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith Yahweh, because they call thee an outcast, saying, this is Zion, whom no man seeketh after. For the adversaries will make sport of Zion, because apparently no one will be looking after them, and they will have no following or friends, no one to plead their cause. Jeremiah 30, verse 18, thus saith Yahweh, behold, I will bring again the captivity of Jacob's tent, and have mercy on his dwelling places, and the city shall be builded upon her own heap, and the palace shall be remained after the manner thereof. For the city shall be rebuilt, and the palace shall remain. Jeremiah 30, verse 19, and out of them shall proceed thanksgiving, and the voice of them that make merry, and I will multiply them, and they shall not be few. I will also glorify them, and they shall not be small. They are going to multiply and be a great people. Jeremiah 30, verse 20. Their children also shall be as aforetime, and their congregation shall be established before me, and I will punish all that oppress them. Their oppressors are still there. Jeremiah 30, verse 21. And their nobles shall be of themselves, and their governors shall proceed from the midst of them, and I will cause him to draw near, and he shall approach unto me. For who is this that engages his heart to approach unto me, saith Yahweh? The nobles shall be of the Gentiles, for they shall have their own government. Jeremiah 30, verse 22-24. And you shall be my people, and I will be your Elohim. Behold, the whirlwind of the Yahweh goeth forth with the fury, a continuing whirlwind, and it shall fall with pain upon the head of the wicked. For the fierce anger of the Yahweh shall not return until he have done it, and until he have performed the intents of his heart. In the latter days you shall consider it. To find what the whirlwind is, let us turn unto Jeremiah 25:15-18. For thus saith Yahweh Elohim of Israel, unto me, take the wine cup of this fury at my hand, and cause all the nations unto whom I send thee to drink it, and they shall drink and be moved and be mad because of the sword that I will send among them. Then took I the cup at the Yahweh's hand, and made all the nations to drink, unto whom the Yahweh has sent me, to wit, Jerusalem, and the cities of Judah, and the kings thereof, and the princes thereof, to make them a desolation, and astonishment, and hissing, and a curse, as it is this day. It made Judah a curse. Jerusalem was first among the nations not to take this curse. Jeremiah 25:19. The Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and his servants, and his princes, and all his people. Egypt was next. That's in Jeremiah 25:19. Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and his servants, and his princes, and all his people. Egypt was next, you see. Jeremiah 25:20-29. And all the mingled people of all the kings of the land of Uz, and all the kings of the land of the Philistine, and Ashkelon, and Aza, and Ekron, and the remnant of Ashdod, Edom, and Moab, and the children of Ammon, and all the kings of Tyrus, and all the kings of Zidon, and the kings of the Isles, which are beyond the sea, Dedan, and Tema, and Buzz, and all that are in the utmost corners, and all the kings of Arabia, and all the kings of the mingled people that dwell in the desert, and all the kings of the Zimri, and all the kings of Elam, and all the kings of the Medes, and all the kings of the north, far and near, one with another, and all the kings of the world which are upon the face of the earth, and the king of Shishak shall drink after them. Therefore thou shalt say unto them, thus saith Yahshua of the host, Yahweh of the host, the Father, the Elohim of Israel, or you might say, the Yahweh of Israel, drink ye and be drunken, and spew and fall, and rise no more, because of the sword which I will send among you, and it shall be, if they refuse to take the cup at thine hand to drink, Then shalt thou say unto them, Thus saith the Yahweh of the host, Ye shall certainly drink, for lo, I begin to bring evil on the city, which is called by my name, and should be utterly unpunished, and should ye be utterly unpunished, you shall not be unpunished, for I will call for a sword upon all the inhabitants of the earth, saith Yahshua of the host. Now this inhabitants of the earth is talking about this whole world, of all these kings that he just talked about and mentioned. For the Yahweh here declares that he commenced his punishment with his own people, and he is not going to excuse other people from punishment. All the nations unto whom he sent it were to drink of the curse, and what he did to punish his people is a sample of what he will do unto the nations, because he will not allow them to go unpunished. Jeremiah 25:30-31, Therefore prophesy thou against them all these words, and say unto them, The Yahweh shall roar from on high, and utter his voice from his holy habitation. He shall mightily roar upon his habitation, he shall give a shout, as they that tread the grapes, against all the inhabitants of the earth. A noise shall come even unto the ends of the earth, for the Yahweh hath a controversy with the nation. He will plead with all flesh. He will give them that are wicked to the sword, saith Yahweh. The wicked will be destroyed. Jeremiah 25:32, Thus saith Yahweh of the host, Behold, evil shall go forth from nation to nation, and a great whirlwind shall be raised up from the coast of the earth. Evil will go forth from nation to nation, for Elohim will call for a sword upon all the inhabitants of the earth. It means war. Jeremiah 25:33. And the slain of the Yahweh shall be at that day from one end of the earth even unto the other end of the earth. They shall not be lamented, neither gathered nor buried. They shall be dung upon the ground. This verse is not describing the conditions that will prevail as a result of the coming of the brightness of the Yahweh when he comes in the clouds. This is a slaughter from the great whirlwind of Jeremiah 25:32. It is from war. Why should the Yahweh first bring this on Judah and Jerusalem and then unto the nations? Because they had the greatest light, and therefore they had the least reason to be wicked. Then, when this war starts in the time of the deliverance of Elohim's people, the most enlightened people will suffer first. Please return now to Jeremiah 30:23. Behold, the whirlwind of the Yahweh goeth forth with fury, a continuing whirlwind. It shall fall with pain upon the head of the wicked. For this whirlwind is warfare, which does not arrive and then quickly die out. It stays long. It is the start and the latter end of the time that the Yahweh's people are scattered among the Gentiles, just before his people are delivered. This is where we're at today. This is what's going on in the world today. Jeremiah 31:1. At the same time, saith Yahweh, will I be the Elohim of all the families of the Israel, and they shall be my people. For the people that were left of the sword found grace in the wilderness. For the Gentile world, showing that the sword fell while the people were still in the Gentile nation, those that were left will be restored unto their own land. It is in the time when the true ones in Israel are left and find grace with the Elohim. Jeremiah 31:3-4. Yahweh hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Again I will build thee, and thou shalt be built, O virgin of Israel. Thou shalt again be adorned with thy tabrets, and shalt go forth in the dances of them that make merry. She will again be a kingdom as she once was. Jeremiah 31:5-6. And thou shalt yet plant vines upon the mountains of Samaria. The planters shall plant and shall eat them as common things, for there shall be a day that the watchman upon the Mount Ephraim shall cry, Arise ye, and let us go up to Zion unto Yahweh our Elohim. Judah is in Zion. Ephraim refers to the kingdom of Israel, the 10-tribe kingdom. Therefore the day is coming that Ephraim will go to Judah and Zion unto the Yahweh Elohim. Jeremiah 31:7. For thus saith the Yahweh, Sing with gladness for Jacob, and shout among the chief of the nations. Publish ye, praise ye, and say, O Yahweh, save thy people, the remnant of Israel. There are people yet to be saved. Jeremiah 30:8. Behold, I will bring them from the north country, and gather them from the coast of the earth, and with them the blind and the lame, the woman with child, and her that travaileth with child together. A great company shall return thither. A great company shall return. Jeremiah 31:9-10. They shall come with weeping, and with supplications will I lead them. I will cause them to walk by the rivers of the waters in a straight way wherein they shall not stumble, for I am a father unto Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Hear the word of Yahweh, O ye nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, He that scattered Israel will gather him and keep him as a shepherd doth his flock. An announcement is to be made to the nations, informing them of the good things that the Yahweh will do for Israel. For the Yahweh hath redeemed Jacob and ransomed him from the hand of him that was stronger than he. Therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, and shall flow together unto the goodness of Yahweh, for wheat, and for wine, and for oil, and for the young of the flock, and of the herd, and their soul shall be as a watered garden, and they shall not sorrow any more at all. Let us now turn to Isaiah 30 and read another prophecy, prediction of the very same prophecy we have just read about this afternoon. Isaiah chapter 30 describes the wickedness of Judah and Israel and sets forth Elohim's intention to destroy their kingdoms. Let us now read Isaiah 30:18. And therefore will the Yahweh wait that he may be gracious unto thee, and therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. For the Yahweh is the Elohim of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him. In the previous verses, the Yahweh sets forth the determination of his people to go their own way, which will lead to loss and shame. But in this verse he declares that he will wait for a time and the mercy for the true ones among them, those who will wait for him. Thus will he be exalted, and a special blessing is in store for those who do wait for him. Isaiah 30:19. For the people shall dwell in the Zion at Jerusalem. Thou shalt weep no more. He will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry when he shall hear it. He will answer thee. They shall dwell in Zion and Jerusalem, not in some other place. Isaiah 30:20. And though the Yahweh give you the bread of the adversity and the water of the affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner any more, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers. Though the kingdom was to be broken up, yet in the time of the restoration, their teachers would be seen of the people. Isaiah 30:21. And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, This is the way, walk ye in it, when you turn unto the right hand and when you turn unto the left. When the horse comes to the fork in the road, he wonders which way you want him to take. He wants to be a gentle. All he wants is but a gentle touch of the rein by the driver to indicate the road he is to follow. So with Elohim's people, the still small voice will clearly direct them in the right way if they will follow it. Isaiah 30:22-24. Ye shall defile also the covering of thy graven images, of the silver, and the ornament of thy molten images, of the gold. Thou shalt cast them away as a ministry's cloth, thou shalt say unto it, get thee hence. Then shall he give the rain of thy seed, that thou shalt sow the ground withal, and the bread of the increase of the earth. And it shall be fat and plenteous, and that day shall thy cattle feed in large pastures. For the oxen likewise, and the young asses that ear the ground, shall eat clean provender, which hath been winnowed with the shovel and with the fan. There shall be prosperity, Isaiah 30:25-26. And there shall be upon every high mountain, upon every high hill, rivers and streams of water, in the day of the great slaughter, when the towers fall. Moreover, the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun shall be sevenfold as the light of 7 days, in the day that the Yahweh bindeth up the breach of his people, and healeth the stroke of their wound. The day when the Yahweh binds the breach of his people and heals the stroke of their wound is in the day of the restoration. It is the day that the kingdom is returned unto the Elohim's people. At that time, the moon and the sun will shine many times brighter. And this is symbolical language. This is in the symbolical language for the sun signifying of the Bible truth. Okay, if the sun is for the shining 7 times brighter, it would indicate that the truth would become clearer and brighter. Since it is even now growing brighter and brighter, we see it in it another evidence that the time that this prophecy is to meet its fulfillment is almost here. Isaiah 30:27. Behold, the name of Yahweh cometh from far, burning with his anger, and the burden thereof is heavy. His lips are full of indignation, and his tongue is as a devouring fire. For the sun shines 7 times brighter in the day that the name of the Yahshua cometh. This is speaking of the day of the Yahshua. This is the sun. And according unto the Malachi, Yahshua was to send the prophet Elijah before the great and terrible day of the Yahshua should come. Isaiah 30:28. And his breath, as an overflowing stream, shall reach into the midst of the neck to sift the nations with the sieve of vanity. And there shall be a bridle in the jaws of the people, causing them error. He shall come to sift the nations with the vanity, for he knows that vanity appeals unto them. Through it they will be led where Elohim wants all to go who follow after vanity. They will err in their ways through the specially designed vanity which Elohim shall send them, because they follow vain things. Isaiah 30:29. Ye shall have a song as in the night when a holy solemnity is kept, and gladness of the heart as when one goeth with a pipe to come unto the mountain of the Yahweh, unto the mighty one of Israel. That is the way you are going to feel if you follow the Yahshua in the truth. Isaiah 30:30-31. And the Yahshua shall cause his glorious voice to be heard, and shall show the lightning down of his arm, with the indignation of his anger, and with the flame of a devouring fire, with the scattering and tempest and hailstones. For through the voice of the Yahshua shall the Assyrian be beaten down, which smote with a rod. Now this voice of the Yahshua would be his prophet, having inspiration and a message from the Yahshua himself. This is the messenger of the covenant, this Elijah. This is who this voice is. For the Assyrian will be beaten down in the promised land through the voice of the Yahshua. So this means that the Elijah will be there. Antipical Elijah will be there. That's the voice of the Yahshua. You do not know now what that voice will say, but when it comes, you will know it. See, there it is. And whereas you do not need to know it now, you will have to know it then. If you look for it, you will recognize it without a doubt. Isaiah 30:32, and in every place where the grounded staff shall pass, which the Yahshua shall lay upon him, It will be with the tabrets and harps, and in the battles of the shaking will he fight with it. Speaking of this event, Nahum said, the fir tree shall be terribly shaken, and the trees will fall. What is happening in the shaking that has already commenced in today's world? Some great men have fallen, and it is likely that the reason the woman Babylon will be put to rule the world will be due to the tree's rulers having fallen in the shaking that is now only commencing. So when Obama, as the king of Babylon, took over in 2009 as the president of the United States, president of the world, this is because the great rulers of the world have fallen. They had let down their guard, and they allowed the enemy to come in and place his man in their seat of authority. And that was Babylon, Obama, and so forth. The next chapter of Isaiah, like the preceding chapter, starts with the subject of the fall of Judah. And it also brings in a promise of a restoration. We are told that the reason Judah fell was that they trusted in Egypt rather than obey Yahweh. Egypt means they trusted in the Arabs, they trusted in the Muslims, they trusted in Obama, 2009, to save them, to save the world, rather than obey Yahweh. Let us continue by reading Isaiah 31:4. For thus saith Yahweh. For thus hath the Yahweh spoken unto me, like as the lion and the young lion roaring on his prey. When a multitude of the shepherds is called forth against him, he will not be afraid of their voice, nor abase himself for the noise of them. So shall the Yeshua of the host come down to fight for the Mount Zion, this is the house of David, the kingdom of heaven here on earth set up, and for the hill thereof. For the Yahweh is not going to be afraid. He is going to come down to fight for the Mount Zion, the kingdom, to restore it. How do we know it is the kingdom? Please turn with me unto Isaiah 1:27-31. The Zion shall be redeemed with judgment, and her converts with righteousness, and the destruction of the transgressors and of the sinners shall be together, and they that forsake the Yahweh shall be consumed, for they shall be ashamed of the oaks which they have desired. You shall be confounded for the gardens that you have chosen, for you shall be as an oak whose leaf fadeth, and as a garden that hath no water. And the strong shall be as tow, and the maker of it as spark, and they shall both burn together, and none shall quench them. That is what happened anciently unto Israel and Judah. But what is to happen at the last? Isaiah 2:2. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Yahweh's house shall be established on the top of the mountain, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. For the hill of Yahweh, then, is the kingdom restored. Let us continue with Isaiah 31:5-6. As birds flying, so will the Yahshua of the host defend them, Jerusalem. Defending also, he will deliver it, and passing over, he will preserve it. Turn ye unto him from whom the children of Israel have deeply revolted. Elohim is calling for a reformation in a people other than the children of Israel, who have deeply revolted against the Yahweh. Isaiah 31:7-8. For in that day shall every man shall cast away his idols of the silver and his idols of gold, which your own hands have made unto you for a sin. Then shall the Assyrian fall with the sword, not of a mighty man, and the sword not of a mean man shall devour him. But he shall flee from the sword, and his young men shall be discomfited. Then when this idolatry is cast away by every man, the Assyrian will fall by the sword. In the time when the Elohim pleads for his people to return unto him, and when they do it, then the Assyrian will fall. Not before that. It was because of their idolatry that they lost the land, and Elohim is not going to bring his people back unto their land with their idolatry. Therefore, we and all Elohim's people must not delay putting away our idols. We had better cast them out and be ready on time to go unto the place where it will be so much better than it is in the present world. For there none will be tired or sick or lonely or afraid. In Isaiah 31:8, then shall the Assyrian fall with a sword, not of a mighty man, and the sword, not of a mean man, shall devour him. But he shall flee from the sword, and his young men shall be discomfited. For the Assyrian will fall by the sword which the Elohim himself shall send. Assyria will not fall by a mean man. His fall will come under the circumstances that will clearly show that Yahweh caused it to happen. When the ancient Israel fell, it was Elohim who brought it. It was Elohim who was responsible for it. So it will be also with the Assyria, unless she too turns unto Yahweh. Moreover, it is a vain thing for them to look unto some other nation for the help. None can stay Elohim's punishment. Only Yahweh can help at such a time. Isaiah 31:9. And he shall pass over into his stronghold for fear, and his princes shall be afraid of the ensign, saith the Yahshua, whose fire is in Zion and his furnace in Jerusalem. At the time Yahweh's purifying fire is in Zion and his purifying furnace is in Jerusalem, the Assyrian will pass over unto his stronghold for his fear, and his princes shall be afraid of the ensign. From this we can see that Nineveh will not lose out completely when she loses in the Palestine. She is to lose out in Palestine first and then flee to her stronghold. This has reference unto the time when the kingdom is set up before the scarlet-colored beast comes, before the woman rules the beast. Indeed, this prophecy is taking about is talking about Assyria, not Babylon. It shows that Assyria will lose out in the promised land. Before she loses her stronghold, their kingdom, this is the everlasting kingdom of David, then is to be established before the complete fall of Assyria takes place. For the kingdom is of David, the everlasting kingdom of heaven, set up with Yahshua as the invisible king, and antitypical David as their visible king, will be established. It's going to be established, moreover, in the Zion and in Jerusalem, not in the Washington or Mount Carmel here in Texas, or Washington, D.C., and many people and nations shall flow under it. It will happen just as soon as every man casts away his idol. It is useless to expect it before. As soon as that happens, Assyria will fall in the land. The coming of the kingdom then is not waiting for anyone but Elohim's own people. Let us return on Jeremiah and read a few more verses from the chapter we were studying earlier, Jeremiah 31:13. Then shall the virgin rejoice in the dance, both young men and old together, for I will turn their mourning into joy and will comfort them and make them rejoice from their sorrow. Both old and young will rejoice together, Jeremiah 31:14, and I will satiate the soul of the priest with the fatness, and my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, saith Yeshua, or saith Yahweh, all will be satisfied, Jeremiah 31:15-16, thus saith Yahweh, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping, Rachel weeping for her children, refused to be comforted for her children because they were not. Thus saith Yahweh, refrain thy voice from weeping and thine eyes from tears, for thy work shall be rewarded, saith Yahweh, and they shall come again from the land of the enemy. This includes all of Elohim's people living and dead, Jeremiah 31:17-18. And there is hope in thine end, saith Yahweh, that thy children shall come again unto their own border. I have surely heard Ephraim bemoaning himself thus, thou hast chastised me, and I was chastised as a bullock unaccustomed to yoke. Turn thou me, and I shall be turned, and for thou art the Yahweh thy Elohim, my Elohim. How different is Ephraim at the time of his deliverance compared with what he was like when he was taken captive. Once he was like a wild bullet, but now is he tame. We have read a number of scriptures here today. Now let us very briefly summarize what we learned from it. We learned, number one, what is the time of Jacob's trouble? Number two, the kingdom will be set up in the time of the war. Number three, the whirlwind and sword, which is war, is the evil, the curse that is to be sent to all the nations unto whom the Yahweh will send it. Number four, the evil war is to go from nation to nation and is not to be of a short duration. Number five, Elohim's people will be delivered in a time of the great trouble. Number six, they must cast away all idolatry as a prerequisite to being delivered. And number seven, the Gentiles will have their trouble when they are called out of Babylon. Today's study dealt with the Jacob's own trouble and about his being delivered from the Assyrian yoke. The great and dreadful day of Yahshua is fast coming. Let us each be ready for it on time, lest we lose out altogether. Well, this brings in verse 36. Contact us at the 11th hour call. That's number 11. Click on our audio archive to hear this message and more. Let us close now with a song.
Let's do a song later.
We're not going to get going. Boy. And the rest of this yard. I'll close now the song that I've written entitled Wonder of Wonder. Let me tell you a story about a long time ago of a prophecy made for the future to unfold. Got a man in Yahshua who can do his own. And to reign on his throne. Wonder of wonder in heaven I see. Heavenly light shining all around me. Glory of glory in heaven is found. Oh, matchless love from heaven come down. Deliverance from a matter of sin. He touched the heartstrings of men where they live. And with unerring judgment, he had power to forgive. Wonder of wonder in heaven I see. Heavenly light shining all around me. Glory of glory. Matchless love from heaven come down. He taught the plan of salvation by faith. Long on mercy and full of grace. He blazed the trail to glory, you see. Through the blood of the Lamb of the Calvary. Wonder in heaven I see. Heavenly light shining all around me. Glory of glory in heaven is found. Oh, matchless love from heaven come down. And the verse that it, you want to close this service now with a song that I've written entitled Wonder of Wonder. Let me tell you a story about a long time ago of a prophecy made for the future to unfold. Got a man named Yahshua who came to his own. To live and to die and to reign on his throne. Wonder of wonder in heaven I see. Heavenly light shining all around me.
judgment he has power to forgive. Wonder of wonder in heaven I see, heavenly light shining all around me. Glory of glory in heaven is found. Oh, matchless love from heaven come down. Taught the plan of salvation by faith, long on mercy and full of grace. He blazed a trail to glory, you see, through the blood of the Lamb of the Calvary. Wonder of wonder in heaven I see, heavenly light shining all around me. Glory of glory in heaven is found. Oh, matchless love from heaven come down.